Sexual decadence in the end of man. That's the theme for this week. We started on Monday night, last night also, tonight Wednesday. It is the 8th of June 2011. Glad to be with you from, ultimately from around the world. Those that listen by satellite, those that listen by internet radio, and those who download all over the world. Listen, you're prayed for. Be blessed in the name of the living Christ. That's how we come to tell you that God loves you. God knows you. Nobody wants you more than God himself. Now, the Word of God says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life." The next verse goes on to tell us God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Listen, we're glad to be with you this 8th of June. We are in a very hot spell right now here. We are out trying to cut some grass today. 92 degrees. That's pretty doggone warm around here. And a little bit humid also. Not as bad as it is sometimes in August. But I want you to know that, God cares about your life. Thank you for the emails and letters and things that are coming in. I appreciate deeply that. We have a number of emails. And again, I'm behind about 400, 500. I don't even know right now. We had gotten to quite a few of them over the last weekend, about 150 of them. But always behind on that level, just the physics of time. Can't get to all of them. But we've noticed a couple that have come in asking desperately for help and living in other cities. I mean, 5-6 states away from me. And man, I tell you, I want to get out there and help everybody. I really do. We've got to do our part, what we can do, what we do here locally. And when we do go out and about, but I do trust, as it says in Psalms, from whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord. And I only know also to call on the Lord in the midst of things, do all that I can do, but also to call on the Lord in the midst of things. I love what it says also in Hebrews 13, the Lord is my helper. And it's all about rejecting fear of men, trusting that God will never leave you or forsake you. But again, standing up, doing all that you can do, asking God to come in. And I want to just say this. Pour into the Psalms and notice how the psalm writer again and again and again seeks God. And every time he seeks God, God comes and delivers and speaks. Well, I love Psalm 34 where it says, I sought the Lord and he answered me and he delivered me. Now, you can take a look at that, and that's just one verse of what all of the Psalms represents. When individuals like you and that's what I'm doing right now. We're in the midst of finality on this move. Many of you have asked about, have we moved our offices and our research center? No, they've been sitting stuck in garages and rooms, all boxed up for the last 3.5 months. And we're moving on. So keep us in prayer as we're going to make a move here in the next week or two. And we're hoping to do that. Once again, as we trust the Lord and ask for his leading. Well, this week we have a subject that many of you are now writing about, and some of you have visited Facebook and you've gone there to put on your comments and what you have to say there. And it's been very, very interesting to see everything that's being said. Sexual decadence in the end of man. We're dealing with demonic influence, addictions, hellbound defiance, and biblical prophecy. Now that's the part that I want us to remember. As the scripture speaks about the future, what God's going to do, what Satan's going to do, what humankind is going to do, and even the attitudes and the speeches, the very words of the critical mass, the consensus, the way people will feel, the antagonism, literally the hatred. Talk about hate crimes. Hate crimes against God and against ultimately and eventually the people of God. Now, in the future, when there is room for repentance again and again and again, the future, it shows us where God says they still refused to repent. That is to turn around. Instead, they're going to embrace sexual immorality, literally sexual decadence in every form, and deep addiction that is connected to demonic worship and to pharmakeion, to the use of drugs. And you're going to see this develop more and more. And anybody doing any study on human trafficking lately? See, tonight on Wednesday night, the theme is, or the overall theme, sexual decadence, the end of man. But the particular title tonight, Occult and Demonic Use of Sexual Decadence. And why do the demons seek human sexuality? So we're going to take a look into all of this. But I'm going to say again, based on 2 Thessalonians 2, that in accordance with the work, that supernatural operating, forward-moving work of Satan, in all kinds of counterfeit signs, wonders, and miracles, and in every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. Not only the outward signs, wonders, the supernaturalism, but it's the moral, decadent evil that dirties the conscience, leads people into addictive subjugation, I mean slavery to a deep-seated sin. And it comes down to, in the future, it is very clear, Satan will do a deep work for those who do not know the power of God, who continue to give in unaided to that dark side, whether it be the sin flesh, that sin code on the inside, the world as a whole as it moves to Luciferic globalism, and then there is the demonic just direct. Now, last night, late, I had turned on the TV, and the movie Taken was on. Liam Neeson, is that his last name? The actor, I think, out of Ireland. And it is his daughter that is going to Paris with a friend of hers. They're going on vacation. But they're set up, and they're abducted, and they are pulled into a ring, a large ring, multi-million dollar making ring, of a sex slave human trafficking traders. And amazing movie that this the guy, the actor that plays the part of the father, well, I tell you something, he does everything that he needs to do. He goes after the sex traders. He goes after the sex abductors. I mean, he just decimates them. And he does it all as he goes to, you know, it shows the dark side as far as the predatory nature of human trafficking. And it shows then the system, the linking up. It shows the money issue, the connection to drugs, the drugging of those that they've abducted to be used in sex trade. And then it shows the elite that sell them and the elite that buy them. Pretty amazing as you go back in the ancient days of Greece and Rome. Some of the same things. Slaves were sex slaves. You can go to the Temple of Delphi and they had men and women prostitutes, you know, with every kind of sexual offering possible. Of course, with being paid and any kind of demonic oracle or utterance. So there was a combination of demonism, oracles, demonic spirituality, along with decadent sexuality in operation there at Delphi. You're going to see that in the Old Testament quite often also. Well, in the midst of all this, I'm working on notes and I'm thinking about some of the direct engagements. Now, this is one of the weird things, again, with us being out on the road sometimes. And I don't tell you ahead of time, We did that in the past, and we had people show up waiting for us. But many times we'll tell you later about what we call REEP trips, R-E-E-P. That is research, exposure, evangelism, and prayer. And we go to where we know that there are, interactions with satanic ritual abuse, covens, things like that. So we're in the midst of that even right now. But years ago, we were out on a night, and we're doing our hunting of things, investigating of things. With me in a car with about three other folks is a chosen one. Out of Fort Bragg, had inside personality, spoke 5-6 languages. And I've said before, one of the most demonically powerfully and programmed powerfully and enabled individuals we've ever engaged. But we were working with them while we were doing some other hunting, investigating. The whole team stopped to get something to eat. There was a professor sitting there that I had met before and knew that he went through some deliverance with some of the other pastors out of the ministry that I was in pastoring at the time. I see him. He greets me. We begin to talk. There's other students. See, he's a professor at the university in the area, and he's got some students around him, and I sit down in the booth to talk to him for a minute. The other individual sits at this table area. And instantly, the professor begins to tell me about sex with demons. And he begins to go into the experience that he had. And he begins to tell me all about the sex with demons in such detail. Well, he began to go into such detail, I had to stop him. I had to tell him, stop. That's crazy. The weird thing was, he didn't know this high-powered chosen one was here and what we were really doing that night, but here he is telling me all this story. Now, he ended up going through deliverance with powerful demonic manifestation, and part of that was deep-seated, sexually-oriented demonic possession. Where, again, he explained it. Now, it's not the only person. Now, this is a professor that has done this. Other men have come in. Many other women over the years. And the same thing. Demonic interaction on a sexual basis. Sexual manipulation. Many of those by the hundreds of thousands around the world. You know, the new thing out there, they call it sleep paralysis. A presence in your room, something sits on your bed, something, you know, presses you down, you're not able to yell out, you feel absolutely zombified. I mean, you just feel stunned, you feel completely frozen. But many of those stories say that as time progresses and nothing's done, not only do the contact become, you know, stronger and they feel more panicked and enslaved and pressured and everything else, but the weird part of it is they, and again, multiple stories of all of a sudden touching in sexual areas. And in a couple of cases where there was actual audio voice telling the person not to scream, to shut up, to be quiet, threatening them, a presence. Now, there are those that I've had come in, and they begin to tell me about all this stuff. This is really, 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 I mean, I cannot get into the details. And I'm only talking about cases from, you know, some years back. Please understand, we've had 35 years of counsel and thousands of individuals over the years. And then when we began to specialize in the area of deliverance and demonic and inner healing and those kind of issues, people began to come in from everywhere. And that's what concerned me was the amount of individuals showing up. And when it came to sleep paralysis, I mean, we've been called to houses to come through, pray through a house, and then individuals begin to pull me aside and confess what begins to occur, and that some presence, some entity begins to, you know, touch them and do, you know, different things, and it moves towards sexual, to the point of sexual rape. But in some cases, there are those that invited the sexual experience, wanted the sexual experience, continued the sexual experience, and explained to me as they continued again and again that the more it occurred, the stronger the demonic presence, the more often the issue began to occur, and then comes in the damage and the sense of being completely, raped. Sexual decadence and the end of man, we need to really deal with this. Wouldn't many thousands of you wish that pastors and leaders in churches, I mean, why isn't the entire body of Christ highly educated on the whole of the biblical revelation? Not just sex is for marriage and outside of it's wrong, and just basically that basic, you know, statement or kind of knowledge. But I mean real in-depth teaching to where, if I'm talking to pastors at all, where does your congregation go to find out about sexuality, to find out about what's good, what's right, what's pleasurable, what's sacred, what's all the good? Find out all the good you can, but also where not to go. You know, as I said yesterday, a three-year-old child laughing, looking back at you, running towards the highway, semi-truck is coming. If that child is not stopped, if that child just continues to run, you know, I mean, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. I was there with a seven-year-old little inner-city girl. Right across the street, she ran right out in front of the car. I watched as her head hit the side of the car, went down to the ground. Of course, we ran over instantly. I mean, no matter what we said, there was no listening. Now, of course, you want to say, stop. And this is what we need to realize, that God can come in and in salvation, not only deliver us, save us, cleanse us, redeem us, and so forth, but stop the practices that are destroying us, that are filling us with guilt-riddenness. I mean, so many dancers, so many prostitutes, I mean, they're drugged up by the pimps. I faced off with a pimp one time. Can I be honest? I wanted to rip his head off. You see, we got a call that a 16-year-old girl was on the run, but the pimps got her, and they started feeding her drugs. They kept her hidden from the parents. Even the cops was searching. We were told that she was down at a certain dancer club, so I hopped on my big motorcycle, four or five other guys. We go down there. I go right inside. Now, I didn't see anybody naked, but I did have a dancer come over to me and ask me if I wanted to go over to a private room. I looked right at her and said, I'm not here for this. I looked at the bouncer, the big old bouncer that had the choker chain around his neck. I looked at him, and the Spirit of God gave me a word. I looked right at him, and I said, listen, the Spirit of God says to me that you have a church background. You should not be in here. The big old gigantic bouncer put his head down in shame. He had a guilty smile. He knew it. And I confronted the owners, and we made a big scene. We called the vice squad cops down in Akron and said, this is what's going on. We went on the outside. There was one of the drug-pushing pimps. And, buddy, we just got in their face. And we shared the gospel, and we told them, and we weren't going to back away. And I want you to know that sometimes, you know, listen, what are you going to do if your child's abducted? What are you going to do if your child's out front and there's a predator? What are you going to do in your neighborhood if there's predators? Let me tell you something. There's a house we were called to discuss with all these weird demonic things were going on. Visitations in the house and all this kind of stuff. And they were just absolutely blown away. And they said there's some kind of cult group down below. So we set it up. Eventually visited that apartment underneath and knocked on the door. And here is Master Dan of the Black Sun Camp, OTO, Ordo Templi Orientis. You know, the connections with Aleister Crowley, deep occultism, left-hand pathism, and all the rest. They invited us in. And it wasn't like a normal apartment. It was like a big temple on the inside. So we didn't tell them who we were. We just began to engage them and ask questions and talk to them. And we went back a second time to talk to them more. We wanted to find out what's going on here. You see, the people upstairs said, listen, sometimes in the middle of the night, there's a group out there with black hoods, and they're doing things, and we think they're actually sending demons against us. Well, sure enough, we go another time, and we're engaging them, and we're talking and listening to them. They're asking us if we want to be recruited into the OTO. So I ask about it. Well, how's that done? Well, go to Chicago with us. We're going to have this meeting that we're going to go to, and it's kind of initiation. Little by, you know, you come to this meeting, and there's going to be a reader. He's going to read out of a book or material, and all the people in the room are given names and titles. And as he reads, you got to do whatever he says when he reads the story. So if he tells you to go over and take the clothes off of that woman and have sex, brother, do it. If he tells you to go over to that man over there and do sex things to him, do it. If he tells you to go over there and whatever you're told to do, you got to do and go through the whole initiation process. Now ask another person that was very familiar with the group. They said, well, that's a way that they test. They test anybody that's trying to infiltrate their group. You know, cops or maybe a Christian that wouldn't do that. Maybe also they're trying to observe whether or not your conscience is completely gone, whether you have resistance to what it is they want to lead you into. I mean, after all, this is the place of Aleister Crowley and his massive combination of occultism, drugs, and deep, perverted sexual decadence. Well, I can tell you story after story in this field right here, and it's ongoing. Ongoing with even currently letters, please help us, demonization, demon in the room, demon in my life. All this kind of stuff continues to this very day, and we're going to continue to help. And I'm going to just tell everybody offhand right now, you call in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. The Lord rebuked the demons and the dark spirits. You're a believer in Christ out there. You've been given authority. Look at Luke chapter 10. You've been given authority, not just so you can acknowledge it. You got to use it. As you go out in evangelism today, I'm going to tell you right now, probably out of every three people you try to evangelize, two of them going to have some kind of other spiritual connection. And you're going to find demonized individuals. And you're going to find people that will eventually confess their sexual decadence and even their sexual connection to weird, supernatural, or even confessions of demonic engagement. Well, let me say again, if you're listening to Shatter's live broadcast here on this Wednesday, the 8th of June, this is Russ Dizdar. The website, for those that are new, shatterthedarkness.net, www.shatterthedarkness.net. Hundreds of materials there. I want to mention to you also in this session tonight, on the left-hand side, there's a training course called Exposing Satanism 101. And there's about 20-some hours of direct teaching, no different than I would do locally here in a course. It's all up on the websites free now. The spiritual warfare one is back up, and there's probably 15 or 18 hours there. So those are up there for your use and downloading anywhere in the world. Somebody just wrote us from Africa, South Africa. Let me just say this, if they listen directly or listen by archives. They're asking whether or not we can set up getting them books, but we do not carry books here locally. We have one individual that had sent a note in, and what I had to do is I had to order the book and pay the printing and getting in and then sending it out and do the printing and so forth, or the shipping and handling part of it and so forth. So we carry no books here. They only are done from the web right now, World Wide Web. You can get an e-book or the printed book. And the book, The Black Awakening, deals a lot with what we're talking about here and many other issues. So if you are writing about that or thinking about contacting us about it, you got to get it off the web. Some folks say, well, I don't have a debit card or a credit card. Maybe you have a friend that can work that out for you. And that's how it's done at this point. We have no ability here. It would take volumes of time and effort, and so it's only other than coming to conferences to get it that way. But the friends that are in South Africa that ask about the training course, the Black Awakening, that is on MP3, well, again, go to shadowthedarkness.net, left-hand side. You're going to see right there those courses and training seminars and conference materials, and you'll find the Black Awakenings listed there. I think it's about 24 hours. There's other videos, materials, and interviews all connected with it. So you can get that. And again, it's what we've done here locally in training courses that you can have free on the web at this point. So get it while you can. Make CDs out of it if you can. Realize that our only copyright is that you don't alter anything or use it to sell or something like that. You got to keep the content clear and as it is, and you can't use it to sell to anybody. It's freely now released out there to everybody. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds now of these MP3s, and we'll keep on doing more and more. Well, let me tell you right now, we have the PDF file notes. I've got three main points. A, what does the devil want with your sexuality? B, occult roots of sexual decadence. And C, demonic possession, use, and transference in deviant sex. So let's talk about this point A. What does the devil want? I'm going to say three things. In all of what we've engaged over the years, and again, the biblical revelation about the real presence of Satan, the ramping up of the dark side, and the future tells us, where we're being drawn to. We are actually heading for, ultimately, Armageddon. But long before that occurs, a massive buildup, big, broad, global decadence. What's the reason for the moral evil? Well, darken the conscience of humanity, which means that it hardens humanity more and more against listening to the Spirit of God, listening to the gospel, entrenches them deeply into sin addictive patterns that, as Romans chapter 1, 18 on down says, that brings thinking to futility, and the understanding becomes darkened. So something really happens when any of us give in deeper to sin patterns and habits. They turn into addictions. They can have spiritual addictive help. I mean, in empowerment, and they can have biological, physiological, smoking cigarettes, nicotine, that issue. When it comes to sexual addictions, please understand that here's what was told to me one time. There's a young man sitting in one of the steam room, a hot room, like a sauna at a workout place, big old workout place. So I'm sitting in there after my workout, and guy comes in. He's sitting there in his little tight. They're really gross, when guys wear Speedos. Really gross to me. I don't know if any girls are excited about that at all, but gross. Anyway, he sits down and looking at him a little bit, glancing up, and he finally starts talking. And he's a male dancer, but ultimately he's a male prostitute for men. And his whole thing about keeping his body completely refined and, everything about it, and he's going on and on. I'm starting to share with him the gospel. He's telling about his cocaine habit and that he got away from it for a while. He said to me, Russ, if I even see white flour, in the kitchen on a counter, somebody spills white or takes a scoop and puts it on something to get ready to cook, and I see that white powder, he says, it's as though my whole body begins to salivate and desire the cocaine because of the feeling. There's a deep similarity when it comes to sexual addiction. For gays, both homosexual and lesbians, when there is this I mean, so many times, the only reason to go to some of the clubs is a meat market. The only reason to go for some of the men is to look at the younger men and be predatory and invite and draw. I mean, we could open up a can of worms here telling you that so many homosexual men got into it. They were introduced into it. And this is from my counseling. This is from the literature, from the stats, that they were induced into it. They were led into it. And there's times, just like in high school, when boys will try to, you know, they want girls to get drunk, and they, you know, whatever, you know, or even far worse, rape drugs that are used in all of those, well, we call them meat markets, all the dance clubs and all that. And who are you going to go home with, who are you going to shack up with, you know? And but some are just out predatory, looking for, you know, the next sexual act. Some individuals have had dozens. Other individuals have had hundreds of other sexual partners, introducing them into sexual stuff. In the world of both lesbian and gays, many times it's the older ones that are already versed in practice that look for the younger ones to introduce them. But that's true heterosexual and across the board. There's a predatory nature for self-gratification. There is just sometimes those who look at things, look at women, look at men, and all of a sudden their arousal begins to kick in, and they want. Sometimes people will do anything. I mean, this could go from, you know, just going out there to a club to find somebody and try to talk somebody into it, drink somebody into it, coax somebody into it. But there's also the predator, like the serial murderers, serial rapists. A great book to get, Programmed to Kill. I think his name is Thomas McGowan. One of the first that I've ever brought out on a criminalistic side of John Wayne Gacy and other serial murder rapists. They were multiples, subpersonalities. It's like Rollins, the Gainesville, down there in Gainesville, Florida, the college. He was going after young college girls, but not only sexually, I mean, just ruining them, but then cutting them up and shredding them up in horrific ways. I've read the accounts. They're horrific. I would never even bring them on the air. I wouldn't read them on the air. They're so graphic. As a matter of fact, some complained that the book that he was allowed to put out was so graphic that he enjoyed doing it. The book, afterwards, talking about it. But he explains that there was a presence, Gemini, I think was the name, that would begin to overwhelm him. And he knew when that began to happen that he would end up, you know, finding a victim, getting them, and destroying them sexually, and then killing them. Or Robin Gentz, the Ripper crew. Now, you can look this up on the web. You can read the books. You can interview the individuals along the way. The stories are literally horrific, but they go on and on and on. Human trafficking. As I speak, there are kids that have been abducted. There are kids that have been sold out. There are kids that are just, all they do is they get their little bit of food, and they have to perform 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times a day sexually. And I think a lot of money should be spent on helping them and doing whatever is necessary to those pimping out, stealing, abducting those perverts. Whatever needs to be done, needs to be done. I know one thing for believers in Christ out there. I was thinking about this earlier today, and it just came to my mind, as God brought it to my mind, there in Hebrews chapter 11, how it says that they conquered kingdoms. By faith in God, they conquered kingdoms. They administered justice. So I'm going to ask the former officers and others, those who are believers in Christ, those who are willing to say, you know what, we need to check into human trafficking. We need to look into human sex trade, like in Cleveland, Ohio, Columbus, Ohio, other places around the nation, not just Thailand, not just South Asia, not just in Europe. I started this whole thing off, I guess, by giving you point A. What does the devil want with your human sexuality? You. What does the devil want if he could have it? Number one, corrupt the gift of God. Just simply corrupt it. Anything and every way, that's what it's all about. The dark side's presence is all about. The sin nature is all about corrupting us further and further and further and further. Satan himself, the demonic realms, nothing about, it's all about corruption. As opposed to God, leading us further and further to do the opposite of what God has created, what God has given. That's what it's all about. So it's all about our lives being corrupted and then corrupting this gift. But point number two, the exploitation of the gift of sex. The absolute exploitation, you know, come out with anything and everything that can be done. You ever read in Romans chapter 1, verse 18 on down? Where it says, by the sin nature and by God's description worldwide, they invent ways of doing evil. They invent ways of doing evil. It's almost as though evil has, as long as it can continue to progress in whatever way they can corrupt human sexuality, that would be the goal. Corrupt it in whatever way. Necrophilia, bestiality. I mean, you can think of anything and everything on the dark side. They want to completely corrupt the gift of God, number one. Number two, exploit it in every possible way. But point number three, use it for their purposes. The gift of God given to us as something great, pleasurable, that involves sacred procreation, completely corrupted and exploited by the dark side, it can be used when we talk about sex rituals, when we talk about, you can read them online nowadays. You know, we've had hundreds of books and materials. Let me tell you about one case. A pastor calls me and tells me about a Satanist at his church that he's getting satanic pentagrams and notes in the offering plate, that they're there in his church. And he begins to tell me about a woman that came forward saying she wanted to join the church and be a part. And that she began then to show up at his house, and there's something wrong with this woman and she needs help. And So I asked this pastor, where does this person live? And I take somebody, we go over there. They come to the door. I begin to engage and talk and say, hey, you've been going to such and such church, and the pastor told me about you, and it sounds as though you've got some kind of satanic or coven dark side background. And they began to tell all about it. At first, they were talking about how they wanted to get out of it. When I asked this individual, could I pray for you, they screamed at me and cussed at me, ran up the stairs, slammed the door, opened it again, cussed at me again, and slammed the door again. I kind of smiled because I knew that closing a door and locking it won't stop prayers, doesn't stop the hand of God. This lady had tattooed on her left wrist, War on the Saints. This lady had a satanic background that was predatory. In engaging this individual a number of times, we thought we were bringing her out. We thought that she was going to be leaving the group. She turned over her Book of Shadows. In it, she describes her approach to the local church, the destruction, the rituals, getting into the church late at night, and the desire to go after the pastor and corrupt the pastor, the desire to do rituals and do what's ever necessary, even if it involves killing the pastor and his wife. The rituals, well, they actually got caught doing blood-oriented rituals right there in the sanctuary of that church. The Book of Shadows describes the things they wanted to do and the sexual practices they were into in the midst of their rituals. Now, I engaged this person one time, and when it seemed like they were confessing and things and they wanted to get out, you know what they told me? They were sent to that church. That they had been going to the youth meetings. This is a person probably around 20 years old, blonde-haired girl. Going to the youth meetings and beginning to invite the young men over to her apartment. to get together after. I'm saying, well, why would you do that? Well, to begin to offer them sex, to begin to lure them away. It's almost, she was saying, it was like they were almost getting brownie points at the coven if they did that. I mean, if they actually brought the pastor down, if they actually brought corruption in the church, if they actually got into the youth group, infiltrated it, the strange thing was the pastor said this woman sometimes would be at his home waiting for him when he got there. The wife unknowingly let her in the house, and she's there talking to the kids. He had three kids. She confessed to me their detailed approach about going after the youth and inviting them off and luring them out away from the church and recruiting them into Satanism by the use of any sexual practice needed. Devil knows how to do things. The devil knows how to increase moral decadence, to increase darkened, hardened, godless hearts away from God. And it's pharmakia, drug use, demonization, and supernatural counterfeits, yes, but also this unholy trinity includes sexual decadence. In the future, when God is calling on the humanity to bring to repent, it says they still will not repent of their sexual immorality, their decadence sexually, morally, addictively, perverted, or their pharmakia, or their worship of demons. The devil wants it to corrupt the gift of God, to exploit it in every possible way as an act of attack against God, of blasphemy against God, of taking the gift of God, taking what God meant for good and turning it into everything that would be like an affront against God. So let me say to you, Satanists, let me say to the Luciferian, let me say to the elitist, let me say to those... You realize the demons use you. You realize that they're teaching you to be predatory in that nature, correct? I mean, it's like that cult, the Children of God, COG it's called, Moses, David Berg. I mean, do a study on this. Do a little research on GOG worldwide as they were child sexual predators. You should see the literature they've written showing God naked, you know, and having sex with children and all this love. And God loves sex and Jesus loves sex. And I've dealt with the actual victims out of that cult movement. I believe it has... This man's own granddaughter left the group to confess and tell. There are those that have come out of it that are multiple, that are demonized, that have been used and abused sexually to where they don't even know what they are. I hope that in this study tonight, there are those that will listen that need Jesus to deliver them and to get out of it while they can. There will be others that will be believers in Christ. You know what time it is? To get outraged against darkness. To know that becoming fierce in prayer and fierce and powerful in evangelism will include literally rescuing. I mean, there are believers that are out there on the streets of Hollywood. There are there in Vegas and other places. There are those that are out there trying to save girls from being dragged into prostitution, runaways that are dragged into all kinds of stuff. Drugged. I'm sitting, in teaching theology class on a Friday night years ago for 3 hours. We go 50 minutes, take a break, go 50 minutes, take a break, go 50 more minutes. And then after the theology course is done for the night on that Friday night, we, a group of us, a large group, usually go out to get something to eat. That's where the evangelism started. And then for 2 years, we targeted this kind of high-powered rock and roll metal, somewhat biker-oriented bar. 4 or 5 of us all prayed up, go in. Again and again and again. I mean, the owner finally found out who we were, why we were there. We always ordered coffee or cranberry juice. And the only reason to be there, the absolute only reason to be there, was evangelism. Did people get saved? Yes. Did we have engagement? within individuals? Were there people that got mad? Yes. You know what we found inside some of that bar many times? Backslidden believers. They were just absolutely guilt-ridden and instantly. One backslidden believer recognized who I was because my face had been in the local newspaper. Pastor Russ, what are you doing in here? And instantly I said, looking for you. Yeah, we've led backsliders out of that into their relationship with Jesus again, and out of that place where they've been defeated spiritually, warfare wise, sin, all of it, desecrating them. So one day I walked out of there because you know how it gets smoky in there, and it's not a pleasant place, truthfully. I can tell you truthfully, going in and evangelizing and sharing and leading people to Christ and ministering to people and everything else, there's times I just walk out, standing out front one time, and a few other people had come out, and one of our other workers was standing out front getting a little fresh air, standing against the building, and it's what seemed to be a little girl. She's about 20 years old. Little girl comes walking by. She's kind of panicked, walking back and forth, that her boyfriend's going to leave her, that she's pregnant. And I stopped her and started talking to her. And she says, I just want to turn my life over to God. And so I tell her, listen, I'm a pastor, and let me tell you about Jesus. And we begin to talk. She couldn't believe it. And she wanted to give her whole life over to God because she'd been recruited in, drawn in to be a dancer. Selling out her body, and then those that recruited her, yeah, give her some cocaine, get her addicted so we can use her in every single kind of way. You know, it's like the old sermon for those kind of guys, payday someday. It's an actual old famous sermon. That was the title of it. Well, how about Jonathan Edwards' old sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God? Does God ever get angry about this stuff? You thank God that he does, that he acts, that he's going to end this. No child in the new millennium when Christ returns will ever be raped, used, abused. There can be no room for pimps and perverts and drug trade trafficking elitists. And that goes for the Luciferians. They're the biggest betrayers of the unholy trinity of sex, drugs, and demons. And let's call it perverted sex, spirit drugs, and dark spirits. So we lead this girl to the Lord. She tells me about her boyfriend. And I took my Bible out of my pocket and a little leather-bound Bible, and I wrote a note into it with his name, and I wrote a note, I said, make sure you give this to your boyfriend. Well, she took off instantly. 5 minutes later, she came dragging out the lead singer of a group called Sinister Rex. There he is standing in front of me. I say, go for a walk with me. We begin to walk down the street. I say, you don't know me? And I begin to pour out the gospel to him. The Holy Spirit gave me a word about his life. I spoke to him. I preached to him. I shared with him. Both of them gave their lives over to the Lord, got out of all of that. Both of them walked away. And for as long as I knew them locally, for 2 years, they got discipled, were growing, and the young man became part of a praise team. I got to do their wedding and do the wedding to marry them and see them begin to develop their little family. The last time I saw that little family, they had their fifth child, a little boy, curly-haired, blonde-haired boy, unbelievable. But she was one of those that were used. Well, let me tell you, on the notes that we have tonight, I just want to get into this occult roots history issue. Let me give you just one biblical thing to take a look at. I mean, you could go to the Old Testament. You can look at again how even Delilah and all again the pagan demon-infested nations, not only that combined perverted sexuality, child human sacrifice, child sexual perversions, but that would be used, sexuality then, perverted sexuality would be used to lure Israelites away, meet them up in the hills, and bring in the corruption that way. That was one of the tools. The devil knows how to use The perverted, exploited, sexuality for his purposes. And it's always to lead people to deeper sin, corrupt individuals, dirty them. Sex, in the demonic sense, is like drugs. To dirty the conscience and to keep control and to bring addiction. Oh yeah, make money, all the rest. Well, let me just mention quickly here, occult roots of sexual decadence. You can go to the seven churches in the book of Revelation. Do you remember the church when Jesus engages and says, hey, you tolerate that woman Jezebel? I mean, she was a spiritual teacher, not of God, of course, and leading servants astray through occult-oriented, perverted sexual practice. Dark spirituality and perverted sexuality go hand in hand, whether in Tantra, old occultism, New Ageism. I mean, there are those that now, you can even find the website. I'm not going to tell you where it's at. How to engage your angel, and then how to have sex with your angel. Tomorrow night, I'm going to be dealing with astral projection and a sexual attack. How does that occur? Well, we're going to talk about that tomorrow night. And I can't believe it that I have found one particular book. Actually, I had found it, and somebody sent me a link to the book written by a believer. I haven't read it yet. I ordered it, but it is all about a spiritual warfare book based on dealing with astral sexual attack. But right now, let me tell you about Crowley. Aleister Crowley, listen, massively, you know, he's a total sexual pervert, drug-infested, demon-infested, opened wide open doors to the dark side. His own son dies in some kind of ritual. He dies sickened and maybe diseased, penniless, and so forth. I mean, this is a guy that, I mean, we've done a lot of study with it. We've dealt with Crowleyans, and we have, you know, read quite a bit of material, but I've gotten sick of it. I've gotten sick of even just the study of that side of stuff, you know, studying it from a distance issue. There was a movie out about Crowley, Aleister Crowley 2. It's sickening. And it does show him being the pervert. There are YouTube videos now. As a matter of fact, on that training course we have on Satanism 101, we linked up with some of those that brought exposure to his drug-infested life and sexually perverted life. That's what the OTO was wanting to do with some of us and take us to Chicago to some kind of testing, recruiting, whatever it was, but would involve doing all kinds of sexually perverse things. But that was a test to see if your conscience was already seared, already given over, if you were willing to allow it to be dirtied, to break everything of God's law, God's creation, God's order, and be willing to go all the way. They understand that. That opens the doors to the demonic. That gives room. When a person goes willfully into the deepest addictions of sin's issues, not only possibly did demons help tempt and lead that direction, but they're there to empower the dark committed sin addictions. Now, you can go into, Anton LaVey. I watched a video one time. There's a naked woman on a table. There's a man standing there. They're doing some kind of ritual, invoking some kind of power. And the man just wants the spell or the ritual power to go to this other guy. This guy wants powers to go and from this ritual to give this guy insatiable lust. Did you know there are spells and rituals for that? Sex rituals? Did you know that there are those who are learning those things? I want to tell you about some of those tomorrow night, but that included the astral projection issue. But I'm going to tell you that there are those that conjure demons that look for favors in many different kinds of backgrounds, let alone, you know, the different varieties of Satanism, for acquiring people. Using demonic powers, spells, hexes, rituals, getting the favor of the demons to draw what they want. let alone the fact that there are, again, worldwide, possibly 100 million satanic, richly abused individuals. Now, there are those that are listening right now. There are those that many of you know about. We've written that book, The Black Awakening, on this subject. Because the first generation, maybe about 40 million worldwide, but now we have 40-year-olds, 20-year-olds, and all the way down to 6- and 7-year-olds. We are called to the Kent area. A pastor called us there. Twin little girls, I think they were 6 and or 7 at the time. They were sexually abused, subpersonalities created, demons were there, all happening at a daycare center in Ravenna, Ohio. We went there. We have an agenda too. It's called exposure and confront and deal with whatever it takes sometimes. Whatever it takes. Got to go down this list real quick. We got about 5 minutes left. Demonic possession, the use and transference of demons and deviant sex. Number one, demon sex, sin, and temptation. Yes, demons can bring sexual temptation. They can increase the issues of sinful lust and make it very strong and almost addictive and so forth. So demons, the devil can lead. He is the tempter. They can lead that direction. The demonic can synchronize sending people over to you to tempt you and to bring you down. Number two, demon sex, sins, and attachments. It is true that if you give yourself to any level of sin long enough, strong enough, demons can attach. Ephesians 4, don't, give the devil a foothold, a topon, a doorway, a legal right. And if you're into deviant, perverted, just sin-oriented sexual stuff, well, let me tell you something. You might feel another presence on you, a power on you you're going to have to deal with. They can bring attachment. Number three, demon sex, sin, and doorways. Yes, the doorway. This is what's done in satanic rituals. Listen, in July coming up, demon revels. August, satanic revels. Look at the satanic calendar and look how many satanic sex rituals. And then a combination of sex and blood rituals. Why? Because perverted sexuality to the point of levels of rape, mass perversion, children being used, well, it summons the demons. Just like rotten garbage out on the street summons the rats, that kind of perversion and decadence draws the demons. And transference can occur. Matter of fact, if a demonized individual, if anybody out there has sex with a demonized individual, it's very possible the demon transfer onto you. And some who've been raped by demon-driven individual perverts and so forth, well, sad to say that in that rape, when your will has gone passive, demons can transfer. They don't care. You're the victim, I know. Jesus, may he deliver you now. May he heal you now. May he deliver you right now. I ask that Jesus, with extraordinary miracle, deliver you and help you and heal you and free you. And Lord Jesus, destroy any demon operating in any person in any way. If you're not saved, come to Jesus. He has the power to bring total cleansing, make you white as snow, wash you clean, and set you free. Point five I have on here, demons and criminal acts. I've mentioned that. Well, sexual, ritual abuse worldwide, that's all criminal. Children are being used. Any victim you've ever dealt with, counselor, massive. Some sexually, ritually abused individuals, by the time they're 13, they've gone through 500, 600, 700 rituals. Most of them that would include sex. And all the pervert leaders and all the pervert men, they're doing it to all the kids. May God expose it radically. May God bring his hand down on this. Well, the money that's used, billions are used in the sex industry. And the power that comes from it. Well, we're out of time here, folks. I'm sorry. We love you. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net. Remember us in prayer. Remember us in support. Good night.